Tango Tango Papa 1942, January 7, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Roanoke, Virginia. So, I've been off, you know, I was off on vacation for a little over 2 weeks. And so I came back to work, it would have been Monday the 3rd. I think is when I came back to work. Today is the 7th. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3, 4, 5, 6, 3rd. Yeah, I think I came back to work on the 3rd, I believe. I don't know. Anyway, I was supposed to come back to work on the 1st, but I don't know. They assigned me on a load, and then in the meantime, they changed their minds and took me off that load and put me on, or sent some other load. And so in the meantime, I was planning on the first load, and I didn't go back out and look at the truck for, or, you know, at the Qualcomm for 2 or 3 hours or 4. When I went back out there, I found out that they'd taken me off of that load and put me on another load, and, you know, and then I didn't respond, or, you know, offered another load, and since I didn't respond to it, they took that offer away. And then in the meantime, the first one that was gone that I had answered, you know, that I accepted. And so I ended up spending another night at home. So I guess maybe I came back to work on the 2nd or the 3rd. I don't know. It all kind of runs together now. But so anyway, after that, I picked up a load at Russellville, and then that went to wherever it went to, and now, so I think this is 2 or 3 loads later, I am in Roanoke, Virginia. So, and I'm backed into a door waiting to pick a load up that goes to Lansing, Michigan. So it all kind of gets confusing after a while. These loads, I don't know, there are people that can rattle off loads they've done, years in the past, and I can't. I just, I have a tendency to forget these things. As soon as something is delivered, then it's forgotten. Once I've delivered the load, then it's, you know, I tend not to remember it, or very little, unless something unusual happens. I tend not to remember it at all, where it came from and where it went. So anyway, I think the weather in many areas of the country has been warmer than usual. Now, while I was home, there was a period of a few days there where I think it rained probably the better part of 10 inches of rain. It came down as rain, and then I guess in some other areas of the country got snow, and then I really haven't been following it. Now, right here at here in Virginia, it was earlier, I think it was 41 according to the truck thermometer, and then this evening here at Roanoke, it's above freezing. I don't know what the actual temperature is, but it's not that bad. Now, the load that I am picking up is going to Lansing, Michigan, so it's probably going to be below freezing there, I would guess. So I'll find out once I make it there. And that's delivers early in the morning on the 9th, So if everything goes right, I'll drive from here to Lansing tomorrow. Hopefully I'll have enough time to make that happen. I think it's just under 600 miles, so we'll see what happens. Anyhow, I've got a couple of different voice files, one from Joel, and it's another, I think it's actually a couple of comments from Scott, and so I guess I'll start out by playing Joel's comment first, since that's the one I received first. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. I hope you had a good holiday. I don't know if you're back to work yet today or not, but hopefully you are. But I just wanted to say how awesome it was to see that picture of your mom, and how lucky you are she's still here. Christmas Day, I lost my mom. It was unexpected, but after you analyzing kind of how things have been going for her the past couple of years, it's kind of not that unexpected. I just want to encourage you and you, by the way, you can play this on the show. I don't mind. Just want to encourage you to spend as much time with your parents as you can. I know, and I hear you talk fondly about them, how you, you grew up and stuff like that. And it's not easy, no matter how old you are, to lose your mom and dad. I'm getting through it. You know, today's kind of my first quote-unquote normal day since the holidays. But it's not really normal because, you know, my mom's not here anymore. But just thought I'd send you a Voxer. Say hey, Happy New Year. Hope you're back to work. Hope everything's safe.
All right, well, thank you, Joel. Yeah, sorry to hear that. That's when someone dies. I mean, death is one of those things that when it comes right down to it, we don't really have any control over it. It's just, you know, just one of those things, and there's, you know, it's just one of those things we have to accept. Now, what he was referring to there's a picture on Facebook. My brother, middle brother, took while we were eating mom. It was mom's birthday. She's 91. And so he took a picture of her and put it up on Facebook. Dad is 82. They both have birthdays. Dad's is the day after Christmas. Mom's is the day after New Year's. And so he's 82, she's 91. And they're both doing pretty good. They've got their medical ailments and what have you, but they're still very mobile. And they get around pretty good, and and I realize that I'm pretty fortunate to still have my parents around. I'm 60 now, going on 61, and that's probably the exception. At this point, I'm the exception as opposed to the rule, you know, where I still have my parents around. So I do spend, that's why I spend the last several years, I go ahead and just spend my entire vacation with them, usually around Christmas time. And, so the idea is being, spend as much time with them as possible. So, but death is one of those things that we don't know when it's going to happen to the people around us. We don't know when it's going to happen to us. And, it's just one of those things we don't really, when it comes right down to it, we really don't have control over it at all. And there's not a whole lot. It's like if somebody, it's kind of the same, you know, if somebody around you is diagnosed with, let's say, a really bad disease like cancer or something, you know, you really feel compelled, or at least I do, you know, what can you say to them? There's really nothing you can say to them. Or if someone dies, let's say it's someone close to you, a parent, for example, whether they were sick or not, you know, the big thing with parents is, do you have unfinished business? And, you know, parents are, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that, I'll say this over and over again. Parents are usually the people, when we come into the world, the parents are the people that are around us. Those are the first people we encounter. And those are they end up failing us in some way, and we end up hating them for, you know, resenting them for various reasons. And at some point, it's up to us to realize that they were under compulsion. They couldn't be perfect. Their parents weren't perfect for them. I feel a sneeze coming on. There we go. I think that's it. So their parents weren't, you know, and it kind of goes back, you know, however many generations you want to go back, imperfect parents. So at some point, you've got to let go of the resentment. Realize that usually parents try to do the best they can. Sometimes they don't, but whether they do or not, you just really have to let go of it and stop resenting them. And then when they die, and they will die, when they die, then you don't have unfinished business with them. But if you've still resent them, that's where all, you know, the vast majority of awkwardness, if not all of the awkwardness and the infighting that often ends up happening in families when a parent, one or both parents die. It's, you know, usually I'd say it's probably more typical for one parent to die at a time. But when the, you know, that's usually when the infighting begins to happen. And you have just really terrible behavior that can emerge between siblings, especially. And it's because there's unfinished business with the parents. And, you know, the parents often, you know, parents will often make a difference between the kids. You know, if, you know, one parent will pick one kid and one parent will pick another one as their favorite, even though they may try to hide it or whatever, it's obvious. And that can cause all kinds of jealousies to arise. And, I'm sure, you know, most of us are able to kind of see that. If we can't see it in our own lives, we can see it in other people that around us that we can see where that's happened. And then you'll have, brother against brother, brother against sister, sister against sister, etc. kind of going on. So the one thing that you do have control over, that we do as human beings have control over, is we can stop resenting. We can let go of the resentment, let go of the hatred, let go of the bitterness, and realize that parents did the best they could with what they had, and get over it. That's the one thing that we do have a choice over. And but that's the only thing you can really say, other than saying, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." You know, it's kind of like someone gets cancer. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but there's just nothing I can say to, you know, my words can't make it go away. My words can't change it. And me expressing, you know, sympathy or whatever isn't really going to amount to anything in the end, you know. So, but it's, but I do spend as much time as I can with my parents, and, you know, I as a family, my parents and me and my two younger brothers get along pretty well. We've had our little dysfunctions over the years, but as a rule, we get along pretty well, and, you know, and so hopefully, I think, you know, when something happens to one or both of my parents, I really believe that my younger brothers and I will be able to continue to get along. I really think that we can, you know, kind of, so we're, you know, I really feel that our family has been blessed in that respect. So, anyway, thank you, Joel, for the audio comment. So, I also have a couple of comments from Scott. So, here is Scott.
Hey, Tom. Listening to the podcast, and you were talking about how they've made new rules that restrict people being able to go out of trucking and then come back into it years later. And I think you said that's what it had to be, was a year or two. You know, to me, that makes perfect sense, because technology changes, laws change, all kinds of things can change. Plus, just the very fact that you haven't been doing it can mean that you've forgotten some of your basics. And I bet they found that there were a lot of truck drivers who went back into trying to drive a truck like, I did this years ago, you know, 4 years ago, 2 years ago. LP, piece of cake, I can do it. And then they find out that they've lost it because they haven't done it for so long. They've forgotten how to, let's say, back a truck up because they haven't done it for so long. Or a lot of the skills that are required, you know, you name them. Out on the road, there's a lot of skills there. If you're not doing them, then you're getting rusty. And there's a point of no return where a lot of people will get way out of practice. Do they need a complete reschooling? Maybe not. But could they make refresher courses that you'd have to go through to refresh what you actually know and up with the latest laws and all that, and then also refresh your skills and make sure that, you know, having somebody ride along with you and see that you can really do these things? Absolutely. You can't just trust people today. There's way too many flaky people out there. So I'm not sure that that's a bad idea. Can you see that? Or do you think I'm all wet? You're far closer to it than I am. But from my point of view, the idea of anybody being rusty, I think if a surgeon got out of surgery and I found out that he'd just jumped back into surgery after 3 or 4 years of not doing anything, I'd wonder about him, or in almost any other field where things can be very dangerous. I want to know that the guy had at least kind of refreshed himself back up to and kind of taken a slow start up to things, not just jumped right in. As an adjunct to that, think of an example of, let's say, an airline pilot who was very, very experienced and a very good one, and gets out of it for 5 years, 4 years. You're going to want him to jump right back in the pilot seat and you fly with him? Maybe not. I can tell you that I know you know Irk in Australia from Irk Pod podcast. He drives a train. For over a year and a half, he was out of driving trains because of a health situation that I won't go into too much to talk about. But once that was all resolved, he wanted to get back into it again. And he couldn't just jump back in either, even after just a year and a half. They kind of gave him reorientation, which is sort of what I was talking about, where he started driving again, but he had a ride along. And they kind of had to reorient him because things had changed along the track lines that he wasn't aware of while he was out. And also just make sure that all of his skills were right there without having to be reminded, you got to do this at this point, you got to do that at that point, because there's a lot of little things like that. And seeing that he could actually do them. So, yeah, they did some ride-alongs for a while, for a period of time, until they certified him as good to go, and then that was it. He was back to driving trains like always.
Okay, thank you, Scott. No, it's very possible. I don't know the exact statistics. I'm sure if I knew where to dig into Google, I could probably find them somewhere. But I would think that it had to be that they found statistics that suggested that people that were kind of jumping kind of in and out of trucking, because there have been plenty of people doing that for years. No doubt they found statistics that suggested that the people that kind of were jumping in and out probably had a higher accident rate. You also have I think it's still true today, maybe not quite as much as it was, but you all also have the people that are jumping from one company to the next. And I think I think they managed to slow that down a little bit, but I think that still happens to some extent. But so it's entirely possible that's why they came up with that, because people were kind of jumping in and out, and no doubt they found that statistically they were kind of the cause of a higher accident rate. And so if you could eliminate some of that, if not as much of it as possible, eliminate it where people are kind of jumping in and out, and sort of set time limits, then it would be better. Statistically, it would be better. You'd have people that weren't getting rusty, as you were saying. Now, as far as driving goes, you're not going to forget if you know how to back up a truck, that's not something you're going to forget. What you might, and even this would be iffy, but what you might run into is someone that would kind of maybe forget that the truck is as heavy as it is, and it's got three times the stopping distance. Although there are drivers, I see it happen every day, there are drivers that, truck drivers that follow too close. They follow a lot closer than I would. Three days ago, I posted a video on Facebook that I'd found on YouTube, and it was labeled something like Truck Failure 2015. And these videos are very easy to find. It was a compilation video, supposedly, of truck accidents in 2015 from various dash cam pieces of footage. And one thing that these accidents, and they were from all over the world. They were from, many of them were from Russia, and some, and probably some in the United States, and some from other countries besides Russia and the United States, where there were truck accidents. And but one thing that they all had in common is that people were obviously too close, following too close. So if you're following another truck, watch, if you can find that video, or just search for truck accidents on YouTube, find a video like that, or a truck accident compilation, and watch it. one thing that they all have in common is that there are, people are following too close. Even the people, in some cases, it was people in cars that were kind of following too close. Stay back. If you can't see around a truck, then, you know, you're following it too close. You know, because that, you know, that's where the accidents end up happening, is when, you know, you're too close to a back of a truck or too close to the back of another truck. And then if something happens, let's say that everything's perfectly legal and fine, except that an oncoming vehicle, some of these accidents in this video, they were oncoming vehicles that were at fault. And then they crash into the truck in front, and then that crashes into the vehicle that has the dash cam. Some of these look like they were pretty horrific accidents. So, but it's entirely possible that, you know, the biggest problem, you don't really, once you learn how to drive a truck, you're not going to really forget how to do it. I think the biggest problem is going to be maybe getting in too big of a hurry. One thing that you have to, you know, if you know anything at all about, you know, how the human vision system works, what you want to do is, if you really understand how it works, then you're going to look and you're going to look again. You know, we've all had the experience, you know, you look to the left, you pull up to the corner, and you look to the left, and you look to the right, and right before you're about to pull out, somebody comes zooming by, and you say, well, that they came out of nowhere. And really what happens, when we look at a scene, you know, if whether it's a highway or whatever it is, when we look at something, our brain is it's taking in some information, but it's also through our eyes, but it's also sort of constructing a model of what the reality is. And so your brain is always looking for patterns. And if it's entirely possible that if you know, you can look at something and sort of see what you want to see, and you don't see the oncoming vehicle, your brain, you literally think you've seen nothing coming. And so that's why it's a good idea, if you've looked, look again. You know, be sure. Make sure. Because it may be such a thing that you looked and you just didn't, your brain just didn't register what your eyes saw. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Look, you know, when you're looking, make sure you're seeing what you think you see, what you saw. The same thing applies when you're looking for something. Let's say you've misplaced something in your house, or you've misplaced something somewhere, and you look and you look and you look, and you don't see what it, you can't seem to find what you're looking for. And it has to do with exactly the same reasons. Is your, for whatever reason, your brain isn't recognizing the pattern. And that's especially true if you kind of put pressure on it, and you kind of go into some sort of an emotional frenzy trying to look for whatever it is, then chances are you're not going to see it. You've lessened the chances that your brain is going to be able to recognize the pattern it's looking for. So it probably is a good idea to kind of force people to, that have been out of trucking, for example, for over too long of a period, whatever the period is, force them to go back. That's probably not a bad idea. It's inconvenient for a lot of people, but on the other hand, it may well be that it has helped to lower the accident rate. Over, you know, and trucking overall, the if you look at the amount of miles driven versus the accident rate, the accident rate has actually gone down. If you look at it over a number of years, the accident rate has actually gone down quite a bit per miles traveled. So, anyway, Scott's got another comment here. So, once again, here is Scott.
Podcast comment on the next podcast. When you were talking about Christmas and Santa Claus and the man in red and all the symbolism there. And, you know, you can find that on almost every holiday. Honestly, they're all supposedly pagan in their origin. Like Easter was one of the ones that always got me going, you know. I don't mean got me going in a bad way, but, you know, I could talk to people about it a lot because it has to do with fertility rites and orgies. You know, all those bunnies and eggs, all about reproduction. And they used to, I guess the pagans used to have orgies and all this other stuff. So look what we're teaching our kids to do. We're teaching them all to go out there and have sex and have orgies, right? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, when instead they adopt a cute little bunny, they color some eggs, have an Easter egg hunt. Really? That's teaching them that? I think that kids know what they're really being taught. I think we know what we're actually trying to teach them. And the idea that some of these people will say, oh, no, we know better than you. We know what you're really teaching them. And it's a big conspiracy. No, it isn't. Maybe in some people's minds. But to most people, this is just a harmless thing just to make kids happy. And that's exactly what it does. It doesn't make them into people who are going to go out and have orgies and do other horrible, horrific things. And I don't believe that Santa Claus does either, any more than the Easter Bunny and the eggs and all that do. And to a lesser degree, Halloween. Halloween, I do actually have a problem with because it directly embraces things that are evil. And I do have a problem with that. Santa Claus is not evil. Easter Bunny, not evil. Evil. Colored eggs, not evil. Halloween, witches, goblins, you know, zombies, you name it. The things that kids dress up as, kind of evil. I wouldn't be pushing my kids into that because I just see it as desensitizing. And I know people say, oh, no, it doesn't do that. And then if you talk about video games, they say the same thing. Don't know what you think about that topic, Tom. But these violent shoot 'em up video games that all the kids play, I really don't think it does them a lot of good morally. I really don't. It may prepare them for going into war, something like that, but I think it desensitizes them to violence. Makes them care a little less about hurting people. And oh, they claim there's all these studies that prove otherwise. And I'm sure it's perfectly possible to not get that out of it. I mean, when I was young, the cowboys were just the thing, and they were constantly shooting each other. All kinds of violence. Constant shooting of guns back and forth. The lines of good and even evil, I'm sorry, were pretty obviously drawn. You knew who the bad guy was and the good guy was most of the time. And sometimes it was as obvious as the good guys wear white hats. I don't know. But in any case, that was drawn. It wasn't this case where some people today actually think that the bad guy is kind of cool, like Darth Vader. Or they let the bad guy make a turn at the end towards good. Oh, well, that's okay. He wasn't really bad. You know, I don't buy most of those plot lines, but they're out there. Darth Vader was that kind of way, too. He was Luke's father, right? He was made bad. And so you have to forgive him in the end. I don't know. I like the I like kind of the clear cut stuff, but I know life is not that way. It's shades of gray. But in any case, there was plenty of violence in those cowboy shows, but I'm not going out there shooting. However, I do believe that it is a part of the American persona and psyche. That's the way a lot of the world sees us, is these Yahoo, bang, 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 cowboy type people, because they didn't have anything like that in their own countries. Anyway, I think when things are innocent, it's just that simple. If a child grows up with love, he learns to love. If he grows up with hate, he learns to hate. If he grows up with abuse, he'll learn to abuse. It's pretty simple, isn't it?
All right. Well, thank you, Scott. So the Christmas thing, you know, I still don't think it's a good idea for parents to lie to their kids and tell them that there's a Santa Claus. You know, they should make it clear, you know, kind of make it clear that, you know, that there really isn't a Santa Claus. And this is sort of a little tradition that we do. And it's Santa Claus is kind of make-believe, you know, and then it's fine. But parents, you know, I think it's a mistake when parents lie to their kids and tell them, you know, really try to convince them that there's a Santa. Because there's plenty of kids that are devastated when they find out that there isn't. You know, and if Santa is a lie, then what else is? So, and then there's also the problem with giving and receiving. And, you know, without going extensively into that, we've all got a problem with giving and receiving. And then, you know, somebody gives you a gift and then you feel obligated to give something in return. A lot of people give gifts in order to get. They give in order to get. And, you know, so I like to just make it clear that, you know, I may be a stick in the mud, but I've made it very clear to the people around me, family included, that, you know, I just tend not to participate in that. If you want to give me something, fine, I'll accept it and I'll say thank you. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to give you something back just because you gave me something. If I want to give you something, it's going to be spontaneous and I'm going to do it because I kind of feel compelled to do it. And not because it's suddenly giving season or it's shopping season. So, and the Halloween thing is kind of silly. That's clearly pagan and, you know, it's of really dubious value. And then, it teaches people to, you know, especially kids, you know, here's the candy. Get hooked on sugar. You know, and look how many people that we now have that are that have ended up abusing sugar, abusing their pancreas, and now they have type 2 diabetes. It's rampant in our society today. It really is. So anyway, let's see. I think that. I had something else I was going to say, and now I don't remember what it was. I think that's it for. Or it wasn't in response to Scott. I think I said everything in response that I wanted to say to Scott. So thank you, Scott. I think what I was going to talk about was while I was off, on my vacation a little over 2 weeks. And you'll kind of notice, if you follow me on Facebook, that I wasn't really posting anything on Facebook. Very, very little. And I kind of ended up taking a vacation from everything. Took a vacation from certainly all the online stuff. I wasn't spending much time online at all. And that not only did include podcasting, but it included browsing, it included email, and it certainly included Facebook. Now, one of the things that I did do that it might tie into the violence thing a little bit, there's this show that I came across. I found it on Hulu Plus, but it's also on Netflix, and it's a History Channel show. And so far, there are 3 seasons of it, and it's still in production. There's going to be a 4th season starting, I think, February 18th. The show I'm talking about is called The Vikings. And The Vikings is a scripted drama, but it's created in such a way where it paints a very accurate picture, as accurate as possible, of the Vikings, the Vikings as a people, the Vikings as kind of what they did, and although this thing is not created as a documentary, so it's not really documenting, this happened, then this happened, then that happened. It's a scripted drama. They're using actual Viking characters from history, people that we know that existed, and they've made a drama out of it. And it's actually, I don't know, I found it worth interesting or worth watching, even though there's lots of violence in it. A lot of times if I know that, let's say that there's a show and it's got a lot of violence in it, but it's just sort of made up. What's it called? And I can't, is the name of it's escaping me right now, and I never have watched it. But it's about motorcycle gangs, and it's a sort of a scripted drama. Can't think of the name of it right now. I know it's on Netflix. And even though I've got it in my Netflix queue, I've never really watched it. Because I know it's a scripted drama. I don't know if they're really trying to paint an accurate picture of motorcycle gangs or not. But The Vikings is interesting because they are historical characters. And even though it's not done in a documentary fashion, they're trying to make these people as realistic as they can. And trying to create this show in such a way that everything that happens in it, in the drama, is plausible. And so you get a very good idea. You come away with a very good idea, even though there's a lot of drama in it. You end up with a very good idea of what these people were. They were pagans. They had some good qualities to them, but they also had some bad qualities. And they, as pagans, every 9 years they sacrificed human beings to the gods. They had the Norse gods, Odin, and I don't remember the names of the other ones right off the top of my head, and then Valhalla. And so it's pretty interesting. I found it, so I ended up watching all 3 seasons. I think 10 seasons per episode, 10 episodes per season, rather. Get that turned around the right way. So, I ended up watching 30 episodes of this. And probably will end up watching more once more of it becomes available, season 4, which, as I say, I think it starts up on the History Channel on February 18th. But I'll watch it on Hulu. I don't subscribe to cable or satellite anymore, of course. So, but anyway, I watched that, and that has a fair amount of violence in it, but it was, it's kind of historic, we know these people were very violent, and they were actually criminals, and they raided other people to kind of make their living. They, killed and maimed and robbed. They were pretty bad, but they were real people. This real history, kind of bringing history to life, and that's you know, it's interesting to look, or it's fascinating, rather, is a better word, to look back and see how these people lived and what they did. So in this, you know, they're also portraying countries like England and France of the this happened in the, like, 795 A.D. So even England, you know, England and France were supposedly Christianized by then. But they were pretty barbaric as well in many ways. So, interesting shows. So if you haven't ever watched that, that's worth, you know, I consider that worth watching. Even though I'll warn you, there is a fair amount of violence in it, and it, you know, some of the stuff can get kind of gory. But on the other hand, it was real. This is stuff that actually happened, that we know that happened. You know, and of course, when they make a drama out of it, they're kind of dramatizing it. But the Vikings were, you know, certainly have a reputation for being pretty bad people. But they had their, as I say, they had their good points as well. But they were pagans. And they had their rather violent pagan rituals. And some of our weekdays are named after their gods. if I may be mistaken, but I think Wednesday is actually, I think it's Wednesday, is named after Odin, which is a Germanic god. I think it's of Germanic origin. And then, of course, Thursday is Thor. Thor was another one of their gods. Thursday. Didn't know that, did you? At least a couple of our weekdays are named after Viking gods. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. I'm still waiting. I'm backed into the door, and so far nothing has happened at all. So I guess they'll eventually get around to it, get the load loaded. So, but anyway, if you were wondering why there's been such a long break between podcasts, I had my vacation, and I really ended up kind of taking a break. And sometimes I think it's important to you know, if I feel motivated to do something, then I'll do it. But then again, if I feel like I need to take a break, I'll do that as well. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week so far. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.